Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It is really good to be here tonight. It is very good to see you, Barb. We've sure missed you, and of course we've missed church. We've had maybe the strangest winter that I can think of, you know. But you know, the Lord is with us, and I'll tell you what, you know, when you're fighting battles alone at home, it sure is nice to have the support here as we gather together. There's just something about it, you know, where two or three are gathered together in the name of the Lord, you know, that promise that He's with His people, there in our midst, walking there among us, you know, giving us what we have need of, talking to our hearts. And oh, what a blessing that is. We are so blessed to know the Lord. But you know, as human beings, it seems like we need lots of reminders. Things, you know, things that are left to themselves often go amok, the saying is, but you know, we need to give that time to the Lord, for we don't want to let things slide and get sloppy and to forget. And how beautiful it is to come here, to gather, to open up the Word of God, to be refreshed in our hearts and in our minds, to, you know, just to hear it again. I might have heard it 1,000 times, but it's still beautiful. And praise the Lord for it, you know. Thank our God, for there's nothing like His Word. It's alive, it's real. And we thank the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord Jesus, for this gathering here tonight. We thank You that we know that where two or three are gathered together in Your name, that there You are in our midst. Oh, Lord, there You are walking among the candlesticks, Lord, walking among Your people, Lord. Oh, God, giving us strength that we don't have in ourselves. Lord, giving us ability that we would not have, Lord. Oh, God, giving us a hope that is beyond this world, Lord Jesus. Giving us faith to reach out to You, Lord, to even touch the hem of Thy garment. Oh, Lord, we thank You, Jesus. Oh, we need You, Lord. We pray that You'd be here tonight. Pray that You'd talk to our hearts. I pray that You would meet the needs of Your people. Oh, Lord, I pray that Your anointing would be here and that Your presence would come down. Oh, Lord, that You touch us afresh. Oh, God, give us strength that we lack. And oh, Lord, give us faith. Faith to stand against the wiles of the devil, Lord. Faith to prevail in this world where things are cold and calloused. Oh God, the works of faith are soon forgotten, but I pray, oh God, that You'd help us, that You'd build us up, oh Lord, in the faith, Lord. Help us, Lord, that the devil be defeated. Let him have no part in this place, oh Lord, or in the hearts of the doers, of the listeners, Lord. We thank You in Jesus' name, Lord. Oh God, I know that I need You tonight. I know I need strength from You. I know I need ability from You, Lord. I pray that You'd be here. Oh, help us all in Jesus' precious name by the power of the blood. Thank You, Lord. Praise You, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, my. I know I talk to a lot of people from time to time, and it just seems that, you know, strengthening is needed. You know, faith is needed. We're all fighting battles. This life is full of fights. You know, it's spiritual fights we're talking about. We're not going out there with, you know, swinging our fists or anything like that. In fact, oh my, part of this is growing in the Lord. Oh, just to be more like Jesus. Just to, you know, have more of a heart that's toward Him. I see how He uses these moments sometimes, and we're fighting these big old battles, how He uses these battles to help us to realign our lives, our faith, to examine ourselves, and you know, to ponder, and maybe just to become a little bit softer. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, I thank God. Oh, you know, we're just works from the dust, you know, and there's not much you could say about us except, oh, wow. We need the Lord. We need the Creator to be among us and to help us. Oh, praise the Lord. We're going to call this message, "The Lord Delivereth." And we're going to go to a very beloved portion of Scripture tonight. We're going to go to Psalms chapter 34. Praise the Lord. "The Lord Delivereth." Praise our God. Oh, thank You, Jesus. Oh, we worship You, Lord. Oh, praise the King of Kings. Well, thank you, Lord. I am so appreciative of everybody that's been praying for me, too. I don't know all those things. I've had a terrible time with antibiotics, and I don't know, what exactly to think, but I know one thing. God is faithful and God is able. And you know what? I felt like I was touched last night. I don't know what the Lord did exactly, but I know some of the swelling on my face went down. And I don't know. Thank the Lord. You know, those prayers of a righteous person avail much. And thank the Lord for that. You know, we can make contact with heaven. And what a difference that can make. Praise the Lord. Psalms 34. Praise the Lord. It says here as we begin here, this is a Psalm of David. And it tells us when he changes behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. Well, I'm not quite sure who the Abimelech is exactly, except I think it seems like this is a referral to Achish, who was the king of Gath. And you know, that's kind of an interesting story. And I think I will begin with that because, you know, David, the shepherd boy who became king, fought so many battles. It just seems like there was one after the other. And of course, you know, the Lord was teaching him all along in so many ways, you know, how to fight those battles. He was learning from his youth on up there as a shepherd in the fields watching the sheep. You know, God was teaching him and showing him how to have faith, you know, how to defend those sheep and to do feats that are beyond the normal. And praise the Lord, the Lord used those moments in David's life as he became a person in authority. But I'll tell you what, there were a lot of battles that he fought all along the way. And if we go to 1 Samuel chapter 21 here for just a little bit here, it's an interesting portion of scripture. And of course, by the time we get to this chapter, we realize that David, young as he is at this point, is realizing that Saul is quite upset with him, and you know, he's got to that place where he has left to flee actually from Saul, who, you know, for no real good reason at all, is so angry with him that he's fit to kill him. And, you know, we know the story that, you know, as he was leaving, that he did come to Nob and did make contact with Ahimelech, the priest. And it was a little different. You know, David was without anything. He just kind of left, you know, so he didn't have food and he didn't have anything to defend himself with. And you know, he was able to eat of the bread that was dedicated there in the temple. And he was also able to obtain the sword that had been Goliath. But you know, while he was there talking to Ahimelech and all, there was an opponent that had just somehow been there in that place. And his name was Doeg. And you know, he overheard what was going on. And David became aware that Doeg was, you know, now keen onto the fact that he had fled and now, yeah, he had Goliath's sword and he was going to go forth. And David realizes that he's in trouble, that he has a great need. And you know, I'm sure this isn't a well-felt, you know, long plan that, you know, he had, you know, the route and everything else. I mean, this is just, you know, I gotta get out of here. This is just get up and go sort of thing. And so here it is. He's left Ahimelech the priest, and it tells us in verse 10 here in 1 Samuel 21, and David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. Now, this is kind of unbelievable that here he would go to the king of Gath, you know, Goliath of Gath, and, you know, his opponent and all of that. But obviously David is desperate. And I think, you know, the description given to us here in 1 Samuel 21 is brief. But I think there is way more to it than we are told. And I think Psalm 34 will help fill it in just a little bit. But here it tells us in verse 11, "And the servants of Achish said unto him, Is not this David, the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And David, it tells us in verse 12, laid up these words in his heart, and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath." So now he's in a strait. David is in a strait right now. He's fleeing from Saul, and he went to the Philistines thinking, you know, maybe he could find some kind of temporary, you know, arrangement there and refuge from the situation. And then, you know, he becomes aware that, you know, the servants, I mean, this is David, you know, talking to the king, you know, what's he doing here, you know? Isn't he the one that, you know, has come against the Philistines and, you know, killed Goliath and all of this? And, you know, David overheard this, and it tells us that he was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. Suddenly it hit him, and it's more than, I feel that, you know, these few words in this verse bring out. He's scared. He doesn't know how to think. Oh boy, now what am I going to do? How am I going to get out of here? I've got myself in a fix. And so what did he do? I mean, this is, you know, something that I don't think any of us would be desiring to do. You know, it says in verse 13, "And he changed his behavior before them, and feigned himself mad in their hands, and scrabbled on the doors of the gate, and let a spittle fall down upon his beard." So he's deliberately behaving like he's insane. And there's a reason for this. This got him out of trouble, because, you know, the Philistines considered that insane people, you know, they didn't have a lot of abilities, but they, you know, they were protected by the deities, by the gods. So, you know, they wouldn't hurt somebody who was cuckoo, so to speak, somebody that was insane. So anyway, what an amazing thing here, just, you know, how he pretended himself to be mad and scrabbled, and he scratched at the doors of the gate and, you know, deliberately, you know, let the spittle from his mouth fall down on his beard. And, oh my, it helped him, though. It says in verse 14, "Then said Achish unto his servants, Lo, ye see, the man is mad. Wherefore then have you brought him to me? Have I need of madmen, that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house?" So, praise the Lord, David was able to get out of that predicament. But we kind of get the drift of it a little bit more as we look now at Psalms 34, because it seems that these two things go together. And after David made his escape from there, must have had, oh wow, a great, you know, a sigh of relief to realize that he got out of there. But what does he do? Oh my, he realizes that it was the Lord that delivered him. It was God who got him out of that predicament. And so he prays here in this first psalm here of chapter 34. It says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad." Oh, praise the Lord, the mighty things that he's done for us. Oh, how many times were we, you know, in our own predicaments and, you know, great needs, great struggles, you know, maybe our health was in danger and, oh my, maybe we were in great pain and all those things that life entails from time to time. But here he is, he's praising the Lord, and oh, I love how he says, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, those notes of gratitude that come from our inner being. Oh, yes, they well up within, because we serve a God who is so worthy, a God who has rescued us, a God who has saved us, a God who is mighty. Praise the Lord. So he's acknowledging it. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. Oh, we have nothing of our own self to boast of. It's all because of God. Because he gives us strength. Because he gives us ability. Because he gives us faith. It says, the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, isn't it so that, you know, those that are prideful in their hearts, they're not going to attain into salvation. No, because in order to reach the Lord, you've got to have that broken heart and that contrite spirit, a heart that the Lord can touch. You've got to realize your great need for the living God. You know the fact that you know you could do nothing without him. The fact that we need his salvation, we need his forgiveness, we need his Holy Ghost. We could do nothing again without him. So praise the Lord, the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Then verse 3, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I think it is so beautiful when we can come together here in the spirit of worship and praise, oh, and the beauty of his holiness. And magnify the Lord, enlarge him. Oh, show forth his greatness. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And oh my, there's something about it. When we exalt his name together, the praises, oh, that come from the heart, the high praises that come from the mind, from the being. Oh, Lord, we thank you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We want you, Jesus. Oh, we adore you, Lord Jesus. Oh, the Almighty One. Oh, thou gracious Savior. All those praises that come up through the heart there. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. And there is something about it, you know, when there's two or three or more that are gathered together in the name of the Lord. Oh, the beauty of holiness, to worship him. Oh, yes, to cry out to him, to get in that place where his presence comes down. I don't know if you've ever been there, if you've ever been in his presence, if you've ever been in that place where you know where you are and everything else melts away. You forget about all the other things that are going on in the world, all the other things in your life, and all the other circumstances that may seem negative. Oh, yes, when your heart is upon the Lord, and oh, you begin to worship him and praise the Lord. Oh, his presence comes down. Oh, what a beautiful thing it is when his presence comes down. Oh, I love those times of worship. Oh, praise the Lord. I had a few nights where I couldn't really sleep very well because my eyelid was, it just would come down and cover my eye, and when I would awaken, I couldn't see, and I had to play with it. The Lord would help me to get it open again, and all kinds of things like that. Well, this one night, I was just, you know, I don't know. I guess I was working on adrenaline or something, but I woke up maybe after a short sleep or so, and you know, I just decided I was going to get my little songbook out and start singing songs of praise. And you know, I don't know, it just went on for an hour or two, and you know, it was just wonderful to have that time with the Lord, you know, to be there in his presence, because our God inhabits the praises of his people, and there's something so beautiful about it. Oh yes, when we give our heart over to the Lord, when we cry out to him, oh yes, and those praises well up within us, those wonderful songs of praise, oh, that we have. You know, I love those hymns. So many of them are like a sermon in themselves. You know, there's so much, and then there's a meat in those songs. I thank the Lord. Oh, yes. We can magnify His name and exalt His name together. And there, verse 4 tells us, if he's reflecting on what he had just gone through there, that narrow escape from Achish, it says here, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Oh, praise the Lord. He was in a desperate strait. And he was seeking the Lord. Oh, to who else could he go? To whom else could he go? You know, he needed somebody, something to change. But he cried out to the living God. And praise the Lord, it tells us God answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard me. And what did God do? It says, and delivered me from all my fears. Oh, praise the Lord. Our God comes through. He is never too late. He knows how to come to our aid. He knows how to help us to fight the battles. Oh my, sometimes, you know, we might not know how we're going to get out of this one. But praise the Lord, oh, the answer is our God. We could just seek Him with all our heart. We could cry out to Him. He will hear us. He will answer. He will deliver from all those fears. Praise the Lord. It goes on to tell us in verse 5. They looked unto Him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. You know, those that will look to the Lord will live. Just as Moses put out that serpent in the wilderness so that those that had been bitten by the snakes could look at that serpent that was handmade out there in the wilderness and look upon it and live. Well, our Savior suspended Himself between heaven and earth there on the tree of Calvary, that cross, there so that we could look upon Him. We could look upon Him and we could live. We could be saved, oh yes, from our dilemmas. We could be saved from our despairs. We could be saved from our sins. Oh, praise the Lord, we can look and we can live. So it says here, they looked unto Him and were lightened. That word lightened there seems to indicate something like sparkles. Something that, you know, would be noticeable in a flowing stream. Can you imagine this? You know, here's this little brook, and you know, it's just flowing, and the sun is beaming upon it, and it's sparkling. But praise the Lord. Yes, when you look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, when we look unto Him, you know, things begin to change. Things begin to sparkle. You know, we become lightened. You know, the light of God begins to be reflected. And we can see. Oh, we're so blind without the Lord. Oh, we can't do anything without Him. Oh, we don't even know how to live or how to think without God. But praise the Lord for those that will look unto the Lord and live. They looked unto Him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Oh, that's quite a thought, you know, because one of these days, every individual that has lived on this earth, that has walked this earth, is going to stand before a holy God. Oh yes, the living God, and how we want at that point to not be ashamed, not to have things to regret and to look back at, and oh yes, to have great remorse, and then to hear Him say, Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. No, oh, for sure, we don't want to be ashamed at his coming. It tells us in 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. It says, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. And that's quite a thought there, because yes, oh, if there's any moment that we ever needed to have confidence that everything was right in our life, that there was no guile, that there was no sin, that we could stand before the living God, it's going to be at that moment when he comes. We don't want to know shame at that moment. We don't want to be turned away at that moment. Praise the Lord. Here it tells us, if we abide in him, oh, you know, his Spirit, the Holy Ghost abiding in us, and we in him, you know, resting in him, resting in his words, living in him, doing his will, doing the things that are acceptable in his sight. Dwelling in him, abide in him. That when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. You know? Oh, that is such a need. You know, oh, if there's anything that we want to make sure of, it's that, oh yes, our heart is right with God. Oh yes, that we've given everything to him, that we've turned it over to him, that there's nothing deep down inside that would separate us from the love of God. Because sin will do that. Oh, so we don't want any of that nasty stuff at all. Oh, nothing like that at all. It's time right now to get rid of anything that would hinder, any sin that would be besetting and distracting and hindering, anything, oh, that would come between us and God. Praise the Lord. So it is time that, you know, we would look unto him and live. We don't want to be ashamed, for he is coming for them that look for him without sin unto salvation. Those that are freed from that sin that so easily besets us, those old tendencies, that old man. Thank the Lord, we can give it all over to the Lord. Oh yes, he cleanses us from all iniquity. He cleanses our sins. We go down in the waters of baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of those sins. And he fills us with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh yes, that his very Spirit might indwell in our very beings. Oh, praise the Lord. What a plan. What a gift. He goes on to tell us here in verse 6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Again, I believe he's reflecting upon that narrow escape that he just had, and oh, that cry that was within his heart. Oh, what do I do? I'm in a mess. My life could easily be in great danger. But oh, there in his, you know, in his great desperate need, he cried unto the Lord, and again it tells us the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Praise the Lord. And it is so beautiful to know, as it tells us in verse 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. I think sometimes we kind of forget about those angels. Angels that are with us even at this very moment. Oh yes, those angels that keep us so that, you know, we don't fall, you know, we don't, you know, suffer great calamity. And sometimes things happen, but you know, how many things have we been delivered from? Oh, I know, I think all of us have seen some amazing things. I'm looking at Sister Barb here and thinking of some of her feats, you know, and it had to be the Lord. There could be, you know, no other explanation. His angels that are encamped around about us. And I think we could all think of, you know, moments like that. When, you know, I remember my oldest daughter, little girl, just a toddler at the moment, and not walking very well, if I remember right, at that moment. And suddenly we were standing out in the front porch there, and cement steps and all, and suddenly she lost her balance and started tumbling down that cement stairway there. You know, it was amazing because I remember crying, Jesus. And you know, as I saw it happen in that instant, it was like her head never touched the steps, those cement steps. And you know, I just figured those angels that were encamped around her held her up. And she went down those steps, just rolling all the way, but head not touching. The angels of the Lord are encamped round about his people. Oh, the children of the Lord, how he spares us, how he keeps us, how he leads us, all those things. So many things we don't realize, you know, when that car pulled out in front of us, and it could have been, you know, a disaster. But God somehow helped us maybe to swerve in another direction, or, you know, just to be back far enough or whatever. Make it away. Oh, I remember that story. Pastor David, you know, he's just a young Christian, I believe, you know, before I met him, actually. And he was going to school, and he traveled from Clintonville to Appleton. And anyway, he was going down the road, and he was going to, you know, step out and passed this vehicle in front of him, and all at once, everything just stopped. You know, it was like he couldn't do it. The steering wheel or whatever just wouldn't, you know, not allow it. And then he realized, phew, just like that, there was a car that had passed. And if he would have pulled out when he anticipated to do so, that he would have been hit. But again, that's our Lord. You know, he's with us, his angels encamping round about us. Oh, yes, to keep us. Oh, around about them that fear him and deliver them. Oh, praise the Lord. Just going here for a moment to one of my favorite stories here in 2 Kings, the 6th chapter. I think this is such an amazing story. It begins in verse 8 here, and you know, I don't know if I'm going to read the whole thing or how this is going to be told, but, you know, here's the situation. You know, here's Elisha, the prophet of the Lord, and the king of Syria is warring against Israel. And, you know, the king has had these strategic, you know, efforts that he's made to come against them and oppose them, but for some reason, you know, it never works. And so he figures, well, there's something wrong, you know, and he goes out, why do the Israelites always know where I'm going to be? And why are, you know, they always prepared, and or whatever all was the case. We don't have a whole lot of details here in 2 Kings chapter 6 either. But, you know, the king was just trying to figure this out, you know. And, you know, it didn't happen just once or twice, it tells us in verse 10, but you know, obviously it happened several times that he had these plans, and you know, he went, you know, forward with it, and it didn't work because, you know, they were prepared, and you know, he could confront them. So he was troubled about this, it tells us in verse 11, and he's beginning to think, you know, somebody's telling, you know, somebody's a conspirator here. So he called his servants and you know, asked them, you know, would you, you know, somebody tell us, who is it that, you know, is showing the king of Israel where we're going to be? And for some reason, one of the servants happened to have the the knowledge that it was none of them, but it was Elijah, the prophet of the Lord that is in Israel. And this is such an amazing thing. You know, Elijah walked with God in such a way that God revealed things to him before they ever happened. And it says in verse 12, and one of the servants said, "None, my Lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber." Oh boy, well, wow, well now we're going to have to go get Elisha. So they made plans, verse 13, and he said, "Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him." And, you know, he's looking around, got to find this Elisha, you know, and sending out his spies to go capture this one man. And they discover that he was in Dothan. So here they prepare to go after one man, Elisha. And wow, quite a feat here. It says, "Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about." So, yeah, here they're coming, and you know, to Dothan, and with their horses, their chariots, and a great army here, and by night, and they surround the city. So, in verse 15, it tells us, "And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do?" I imagine he was a younger man, and you know, he gets up early and he looks outside, and a man, you know, they are surrounded. He can see this great Syrian army surrounding them. And how do I get out of this? So he goes, you know, to Elijah, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" You know, just like David was in that predicament there with the Philistines. Here, you know, we have, you know, Elisha and his servant being surrounded. But Elisha had faith. And he's not all worried. He's not all bothered. This is so amazing. He says in verse 16, "And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." Oh, praise the Lord. Do we get this? Oh, that we are surrounded by a heavenly host. Oh, yes. Why do we get worried? Why do we fear? Oh, do we not know that the Lord is with us and his angels surround his people? It tells us in verse 17, "And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Praise the Lord. Oh, wonderful things. We sang that song, "Open my eyes. I want to see Jesus." You know, it's a marvelous thing when our blind, spiritually eyes are opened up so that we can discern the things that are spiritual. But here it was something that God allowed this servant to literally see. The Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he could see the angels of the Lord that were surrounding them. Oh yes, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Oh, praise the Lord. If we could just see all that wonderful heavenly host that surrounds us here. Oh, our God who is in the midst of his people, walking about, helping us, holding us up, giving us strength. Oh yes, taking away the fears, the doubts, the apprehensions, all the things that we worry about. Oh, that learning to give it over to the Lord and to trust in the Lord with all our hearts. Oh yes, not to lean upon our own understanding, but rather in all our ways acknowledge him, knowing that he shall direct our paths. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, it's a beautiful thing when we can see the heavenly hosts. By faith we can know that the Lord is with us and have that confidence in God that he knows how to fight our battles. He knows how to hold us up. He knows how to give us strength. Oh, yes, to meet our needs, whatever they may be. Oh, praise the Lord. There's nothing too hard for our God. It tells us in verse 18. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. God doing the bidding of his servant Elisha. As Elisha prayed that God would smite the enemy with blindness. Praise the Lord, God did it. And so this is so amazing here in verse 19. And Elisha said unto them, this is not the way, neither is this the city. You know, they went to Dothan and, you know, just to get Elisha, but you know, now they're blind, so they can't really see. So he tells them, this is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. But he led them to Samaria, the capital city there of Israel. And it came to pass, when they were come into Samaria, that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. Oh, they thought they were going to capture this one man. Oh, this man had a walk with God. This man knew how to pray. He had faith. He knew how to prevail. And oh yes, his prayers were heard. And the king of Israel said unto Elisha when he saw them, my fathers, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? And Elisha answered here in verse 22, thou shalt not smite them. Wouldest thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with thy sword and with thy bow? Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master. And he, that would be the king, prepared great provision for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. Oh, isn't it beautiful when the Lord fights our battles? When we turn everything over to the Lord, you know, oh, this is too hard for me anyway. This is too confusing. I can't do this. But you know what? We can give it over to God, no matter how complex it may seem. We can hand it over to God, for he has the answers for every difficulty, for everything that's perplexed, and everything that's, oh, you know, negative. Our God knows how to help us and how to make a way, how to rescue us, how to deliver us. Oh, praise the Lord. And we can say, as it says in verse 8 here of Psalm 34, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, we are blessed. If our trust is in the Lord, we are blessed. Oh, taste and see. Oh, you that wonder. Oh, you who are confused. Oh, who you that might deny the Lord. Oh, my, give it over to him. Just taste and see. The Lord is good. Blessed is a man that trusteth in him. Then he says in verse 9, oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. What a statement this is. It says, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Now how could anything be better than that? You know, even the young lions, it tells us here, do lack and suffer hunger. But the children of the Lord, those that seek the Lord, are blessed. They shall not want any good thing, it tells us here. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, it is such a marvel. You know, it's been a bit different for me these last few days because of this crazy infection there, a cut that I had in my forehead that kind of got infected one way or the other, Lord knows. But anyway, I kind of normally go to Madison to get a few items from the grocery stores in that direction quite often anyway. But, you know, I realized I really didn't quite have the stamina to do that. My girls, Jane and Anna, were going to Fond du Lac that day. And you know, well, they said they were going to TJ Maxx, you know, looking for a few things there and all. And I said, well, you know, if you get close to a grocery store, could you go there? I need a couple things. I kind of thought about going to Madison, but I realize I really don't quite have that kind of ability today. And, you know, I just think this is so neat, you know. So they went to TJ Maxx and got some things that they needed. And then right next to that store was a Pick and Save. And, you know, this is pretty neat because I'm a little bit fussy about what I eat. And anyway, I'd asked them to find me some cabbages. And, you know, lo and behold, they found me some very nice organic cabbages there in the store. And nice, you know, looking and good price. And then, you know, I'd asked, you know, for some kefir and some yogurt. And, you know, I'm a little fussy here too, you know, no sugar, please, and all this sort of thing. But anyway, I just think it's, you know, this is really neat because you don't find these blessings just every place. But there it was at the Pick and Save. You know, I prayed that day. I said, you know, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to do these things, but would you make a way? And I see how the Lord makes a way, you know, how things begin to fall into place. You know, you just never dreamed how he would do it. But it's so precious that we can put things in the hands of the Lord. I think, you know, another thing too, I like, you know, as been mentioned, I have trouble with antibiotics and so fighting this infection. And I did have a bit of fever yesterday. So anyway, I decided I was going to use colloidal silver. And the thing is, I didn't really have very much left at the house. I used pretty much everything I had except the one spray bottle that I spray on my eye. But anyway, it's just kind of amazing because our very dear sister here, you just Sister Laverne, had it on her heart to send us some colloidal silver. And I just think, you know, again, you see the workings of the Lord. You know, before, you know, we even have inklings. You know, the Lord working in his people and putting things in their minds and in their hearts and making a way. Oh, you know, the goodness of the Lord. Oh, no wonder we could say, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Oh, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Oh, praise our Lord. Thank you, Jesus. He is so good to us. Oh, he is so faithful. Praise the Lord. It goes on to tell us here in verse 11, Psalms 34. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Oh, there's, you know, that's the base of it. You know, if you don't fear the Lord, well, there's no way you can walk with him. There's no way you can know him. That's the underlying thing here, the great need to have that fear, that respect for our mighty God, and to give him, oh yes, that respect that he is so worthy of. So that's very basic here. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. Listen, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. In the world that we live in right now, you see a lot of people that don't have that basic fear, that don't have that basic respect for the Lord, the way they take his name in vain, the way they talk, the way they live, oh, the way they think. I'll tell you what, there is no fear of the Lord in those lives. But how precious it is. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You know, that's where it begins, with that understanding, that fear of God. That, you know, where we know who he is and give him the credence that he is due, that, you know, the credit that he is due. And it goes on to say in verse 12, what man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Oh, how wonderful it is, you know, to be right in the eyes of God, to have that fear of him, that respect for him. You know, if that's there, if you fear the Lord, you're not going to go doing, you know, those wretched things that a lot of people do. You're not going to talk the way a lot of people talk. You know, you're not going to think those kind of thoughts. You wouldn't dare. You know that God is listening. God hears. God's recording. You know, I can't do that. I fear the Lord. I don't even want to do that. I wouldn't dare talk like that. Oh, the enemies of the Lord take his name in vain. And you know, that tongue that gets us into so much trouble. Just going for a moment here to Matthew, the 12th chapter. This is what Jesus said here in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of a heart the mouth speaketh. See, it's going to, you know, it's going to reveal who we are, the words that come out of our mouth, the way we think. It's going to, you know, the abundance of the heart is going to come forth. It says in verse 35, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. You know, it's going to come one way or the other. If, you know, it's good inside, it's going to come forth, bringing forth good things. But, you know, if there's evil scooped down there in the heart, well, boy, that's going to come out. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Do our words matter? Oh, we want to be careful what comes out of our mouth. We're going to, you know, stand before Almighty God one of these days. We're going to give an account of our life. The one who has heard it all and knows every little thing that has been hidden deep down inside the heart, even those nasty things that came out. There's going to be a record of that. Unless it's covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, there's going to be a record of that. And I do thank God that, oh yes, we can come to the cross. We can come to the Savior. and repent and turn it over to Him, knowing that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise the Lord, I'm so glad that He gave us hope. Oh, praise the Lord, you know that He could take this little old tongue that gets us into so many jams, into so many difficulties, things that we said that we wish we could take back. put tape over our mouth or whatever. But, you know, it's so important to give everything over to the Lord. Oh, let Him take our life. And let Him change us. For it tells us in verse 37, "For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." How important are our words? We're either going to be justified or condemned by what comes out of our mouths. Oh God, I ask that You would help us. Oh yes, and that's one reason we need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord. I love how He takes that unruly member that, you know, James talked about. You know, that unruly member of our body, that tiny member, really. But, oh man, it's capable of things that get us into great trouble. And words are hard to forget. But praise the Lord takes our tongue when He fills us with the Holy Ghost. It's at that point where you've given your life fully over to the Lord. You've surrendered it to the Lord Jesus. You've given it to Him. You know what He does? Oh, in that time of surrender, when it's all given to Him, praise the Lord, He takes our tongue. We began to speak in another tongue as the Spirit of the Lord gives the utterance. Oh, yes, it's not us, it's the Spirit of the living God speaking through us. Oh, yes, we may have no knowledge at all of what we're saying. But praise the Lord speaks through us. Oh yes, using that unruly member that so often gets people into great trouble. And I'm so thankful that we can turn it over to God. Oh, thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord Jesus, that we can turn our members over to the Lord. We can give our lives to the Lord and let Him take charge of our life. Oh, Lord, I give myself to Thee. Lord, I give You this unruly tongue and all my thoughts and sometimes get out of control. And oh, God, my great desperate need, Lord, I give it to You, Lord. I ask You to come into my life. I ask You to change me. I ask You to make me a new creature in Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. Our God is so able to do that. He's so desiring to do that very thing. Praise the Lord, that tongue. We can turn it over to the Lord. And yes, as we yield our vessel to the Lord Jesus, you know, we depart from evil, as it tells us here in Psalms 34. And, you know, instead of, you know, raunchy things, we want to do good, to seek peace and pursue it. Oh, praise the Lord, for the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. Oh, in those times when, you know, there's great need, how important it is to be able to cry to the living God for His help. Oh yes, how we need him at those moments. But it tells us in verse 16 here in Psalms 34, "The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth." It is. It's one way or the other, isn't it? You know, people may think, you know, they're bold and brazen at these moments and, you know, verbally and, you know, oppose the Lord and His people. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. In one of these days, yes, their remembrance is going to be cut off from the earth. Amen. In contrast, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. I love that, you know? God's people, you know, when your heart's right with God and you cry, it tells us here that the Lord heareth and the Lord delivereth the righteous, out of all their troubles. Oh, praise the Lord. No matter what kind of difficulty we may be in, what kind of need, what kind of health problem, oh yes, what kind of financial problem, we serve a mighty God who hears the cries of his people and delivers them out of all their troubles. Oh, praise the Lord. It tells us in verse 18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Now that tells us how to approach God. That heart that is broken down, that, you know, instead of being full of boasting and pride and, oh, you know, thinking that they are fully capable of doing everything sufficiently themselves. You can't approach God like that. But no, it's a heart that's been humbled, a heart that surrenders, a heart that gives it over to the Lord. It's broken. And how the Lord takes us, you know, that's why we go through some of these bangs and bruises and hard things, you know, the Lord trying to get a hold of us, you know, kind of shake us a little bit and, you know, kind of trying to turn some things around. But he's nigh, that means he's close, unto them that are of a broken heart. Oh, he hears us. So when we cry out, you know, oh, sometimes, you know, the need is so great and, oh, the burden is so heavy and, you know, the hour is so late and, you know, oh, it's a wonderful thing that we can cry out to the living God. And he says, he saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. A contrite spirit is one that feels sorrow and remorse and regret for one's sins, one's trespasses, one's past, all the things that you know that you want to get rid of, the things that you need to give over to the Lord. But that's the kind of person who's got to that place to realize, hey, I'm a sinner. I need you, Jesus. I can't do anything without you. I give my heart to thee, O Lord. Oh, I surrender it to you, Lord Jesus. You know, Jesus told that parable about those two men that went into the temple to pray there. It's in the 18th chapter of Luke. The one was a Pharisee, the other was a publican. And Jesus said in verse 11 here, Luke 18, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Oh, he was just full of himself, wasn't he? Oh, he was just so proud. You know, I do this. You know, look at me. I'm so good. I'm so righteous. Oh, just look at me. I'm not like these other people, and, you know, certainly not like that despicable publican standing down there. That's pride. You don't reach God that way. God does not hear, oh, that kind of person with that kind of mentality. But here's the kind of prayer that the Lord hears. Verse 13 here, Luke 18, it says, and the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. also many other people that were the religious leaders there at the time of Jesus' ministry on earth weren't reached. They were too full of themselves. They were too full of their religion. They were too full of their pride. They thought that they were good enough of themselves. They didn't see their need to repent and turn their hearts over to the Lord. Jesus couldn't do anything with them. They couldn't be touched. You know, their own righteousness was within them, you know, and they didn't feel their need for a Savior. Oh, the Lord hears those that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Oh, yes, a heart that is broken, realizing that sinful nature that is within us. We have all sinned. We have all come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. We all need a Savior. Oh, that need is so important. Oh, He did come to call the righteous, but sinners unto repentance, Jesus declared, you know, because if it was their own righteousness, they couldn't be reached. They didn't realize their need for a Savior. They didn't bend the knee to the Lord and surrender their heart. But yes, He is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Oh, a spirit that can be touched. Oh, yes, a spirit that will yield to the Lord. Oh, Lord, I know I need You. I know I can do nothing without You. Oh, Lord, would You hear me? Oh, Lord, would You save me? Oh, God, I turn my life over. I repent. I turn from my willful, sinful deeds. I give them over to You and ask You to help me. Oh, praise the Lord, how the Lord picks us up. Oh, how the Lord takes our lives and now begins to work on our hearts so we can become like the Lord somehow miraculously because, oh yes, He begins to change us. He begins to alter us. Oh yes, makes us new creatures in Christ. Praise the Lord. And verse 19 tells us, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Yeah, do we have trouble? Yeah, are there conflicts? Are there battles? Is there sickness? You know, do these things happen to God's people? Well, yeah, we have some battles. We have some conflicts. We have some troubles. Yes, we have some afflictions. It says many are the afflictions of the righteous. But praise the Lord, there's an end to this. You know, we go through these things. The Lord's teaching us something. Just something, you know, He's trying to do in us. Or maybe it works so that we'll have more faith. And, you know, can go from there and inspire in a greater way. Maybe He wants us to have a greater capacity to reach other people, to have a softer heart, to be more gentle, more kind, to be more like Jesus. You know, He works on us. Oh, yes, because we're so, you know, of ourselves. Oh, man, we're so rough. You know, we're pretty nasty. Our old self, you know, that old man, that old nature, it's pretty nasty. So the Lord uses adversity, oh yes, to teach us and to grow us, to help us, yes, to become more like our Lord Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord, you know. Oh, there's a value to this. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 5, verse 10. I know Sister Sharon knows this is one of my favorite verses, I guess. It says in 1 Peter 5, verse 10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Oh, praise the Lord. There is a reason we go through these hardships. We may not understand, we may not always get it, but you know, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect. See, it's the Lord. He's molding us. He's shaping us. He's, you know, trying to get those rough edges off. He's trying to soften us so we can be more like Him and so that we can be established in the truth, so it can be settled in our heart, so we know in whom we have believed, and we are persuaded that He is able to keep that which we have given unto Him against that day. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, we can have that settled in our heart. And yes, He strengthens us in the inner man. Oh, yes, we could not do it without His strength. Oh, we could not walk this road of life without the Lord and please Him. But praise the Lord, He is taking our life. Oh, yes, you know, He is the potter. And we are the clay. And when we give our life to the Lord, He takes this little piece of clay and He begins to mold it and to shape it, and, you know, to turn it this way, pinch it here, pinch it there, you know, soften it there, or whatever all is needed. So that one day we can stand before Him. So one day when we stand before the Lord, those rough edges can be gone, you know. Oh, that we can be settled in our heart. We can be strengthened. We can be established in our Lord. Praise the Lord. That's what He's doing. He's molding us so that, yeah, we can stand before Him. It tells us, I see the yellow light is on. He keepeth all His bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of His servants, and none of them that trust in Him shall be desolate. Oh, that means barren or deserted, lifeless. Oh, praise the Lord, because the Lord gives us life. He came that we might have life. And more abundantly, a life that is full, a life that is worth living. That's what it means to be a child of the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. He has redeemed us from this world, from sin. Oh, yes, from the ways of the world. The Lord redeemeth the soul of His servants, and none of them that trust in Him shall be desolate. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord would have us to be fruitful and live that abundant life in the Lord Jesus. And indeed, He is the one that delivereth us. Oh, yes, as David cried, I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Oh, praise the Lord. Aren't you glad that we serve a mighty God that hears our cries and knows our needs? Oh, praise You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Oh, thank You, Lord, for this wonderful gift that You've given us. Oh, Lord, the hope that we have in You, Lord. Oh, Lord, we thank You that we can give it all over to Thee, and to cast our care upon Thee, for Thou carest for us. Oh, we thank You, Jesus. We thank You, Lord. Oh, God, I thank You, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. I pray that all that hear this message would surrender their hearts, their lives, over to the living God. Oh, yes. For surely it will matter one of these days. Oh, yes, when that moment comes to pass and we stand before Him. Oh, we want to be accounted worthy. Oh, yes, to stand in His presence, to not be ashamed. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, to have some fruit, something to give our Savior. Oh, praise the Lord, the wonderful God who delivers us from all our fears, delivers us from sin. Praise the Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank our God. Praise our name. Praise Your name, Jesus. Thank You, God. Oh, praise You, Jesus. Oh, thank You, God. We do worship you, Lord. We do praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise thy name, Lord. Oh, Lord, have your way, Lord Jesus. Have your way, Lord. Talk to our hearts. Tug at our hearts, oh God. Help us to get right with you, Jesus. Oh, God, we need you, Lord. Oh, God, we praise you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, God. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we're going to turn to number 47 in the chorus book, Lord, Make Me What I Ought to Be, number 47. Dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name. Thank you.
Thank you.